It's Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levionier, and welcome to this hour of variety. We'll be enjoying the Gateway to Hollywood program, then a few extras. This episode next, from December 31st, 1939 on CBS, brings us the beginnings of Terry Belmont and Gail Storm. They were actually part of a superstar contest of sorts, put together by Jesse Lasky, as a way to bring new talent to Hollywood right on the radio. All is explained in this next broadcast called The Gateway to Hollywood.
This is The Gateway to Hollywood, the program with a purpose. Brought to you by healthful, refreshing, delicious Double Mint Gum. The Gateway to Hollywood. Publicizing the newly created motion picture names, Gail Storm and Terry Belmont.
In just a few moments, you will hear six talented boys and girls in their final Gateway to Hollywood screen test, supported by the distinguished screen actor, Mr. H.B. Warner. Your friendly local merchant is happy to have played a part in making possible this opportunity, just as he is happy to display for your convenience delicious Double Mint chewing gum. Millions daily enjoy this refreshing treat. That's why we say, get several packages of healthful Double Mint gum today. You'll like it.
And now, here is Jesse L. Lasky.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is the culminating point of my whole summer's work and the work of many people for 3 months. You know the plan of this program. I don't have to tell you how we gathered up boys and girls from every walk of life, from all over the country. You know how they have passed test after test. Now 6 of them are left. Today, from those 6, the most talented 2 will be chosen to own the names Gail Storm and Terry Belmont. Yes, before they leave this stage, one boy and one girl will receive new names, RKO motion picture contracts, and become actually a part of the motion picture industry. They will leap from whatever their jobs were to featured actors in the space of a moment. Their dreams will have come true. Our judges today, you will meet them later, are chosen for their experience in recognizing personality, dramatic ability, and photographic qualities. And now I know you're all waiting to meet our 3 lovely young ladies and our 3 handsome young men. So, ladies and gentlemen, from Houston, Texas, Miss Josephine Cottle. From South Bend, Indiana, Lee Bonnell. Miss Alethea Wilson from Birmingham, Alabama, Robert Brubaker. From Robeson, Illinois and Los Angeles, Miss Sally Cairns from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And from Indianapolis, Indiana, Ned Lefevre. And here they are. There they are, my friends. They have come from the East, from the Middle West, and the Far West, seeking possible fame and fortune in Hollywood. From Alabama, Texas, Pennsylvania, Illinois, California, and Indiana.
You know, I used to work in Indianapolis, Mr. Lasky.
That's so, Ken. What'd you do?
Oh, I used to be a news reporter. You know, the announcer would say, here's Ken Ellington with the latest news, and then I'd say, New York, Benjamin F. Hardtack III, the noted European producer, arrived in America today to look over the situation here. When interviewed, he said, quote, ah, your famous, healthful, refreshing, delicious Double Mint Gum with its real mint flavor. Double Mint Gum aids your digestion, freshens your mouth, and helps to give you a bright, attractive smile. Double Mint Gum is what you say in America, some gum, eh, kid?
Well, I'll bet you were some reporter, eh, Ken? And so, my friends, it's time for our radio play to begin. To you boys and girls, to Josephine Cottle, Lee Bonnell, Alethea Wilson, Bob Brubaker, Sally Cairns and Ned Lefevre, simply this. This is your supreme test. Work hard every moment you're at that mic. Try with all your hearts, for these moments may decide all your future. I want to hear you at your best today, and may God bless you all.
Healthful, refreshing, delicious Double Mint Gum presents Gateway to Hollywood Screen Test number 13.
Jesse L. Askey presents six aspirants to motion picture fame, the most talented two of whom will be chosen today to become Gale Storm and Terry Belmont in the radio play From the Mountaintop. Original music arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch.
I am the mountaintop. Compared to the universe, I am small, a speck upon infinity. Yet swarming over my sides is a creature smaller still, man. He lives but a day, but in his day, what self-importance he takes on. He puffs and he bellows, he rants and he rages, he builds and he tears down. The sun, the stars, even the heavens themselves are of no importance. Only himself. It is most amusing how great his confusion is. Nowhere better illustrated than in the moment which divides his years, one from the other. Some men crawl up my sides to spend that moment looking at their world from my peak, bringing with them the one they love best. They talk and they plan, man and the woman he loves, seeking the greatest beauty they can find for their new year, struggling to find it somewhere outside, and in their stupidity never realizing that the beauty, the love, the happiness for which they search is within themselves, alone. No, they must look into it and find problems, something to fight about, something to confuse them more. It is pitiful. Three types of men will come tonight, for the moment of the new year is at hand. The first, a man who seeks to take a bride, to keep, cherish, and love her for the whole of the day of uncertainty that is his.
Well, 1939's almost over.
Look down there. Oh, it's swell, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. The whole town's been before us.
The whole world.
Yes.
Lee.
What, honey?
Put your arm around me.
All right.
Looking at all this makes me kind of scared.
Yeah, I know.
Do you feel it, too?
A little.
It's awful, isn't
it? It's so big, we might get lost. That's what you're thinking, isn't it?
We might.
We won't. But I hope we do. Those who get lost are the ones who are happy. Their light is so little, no one notices it. But it's soft and mellow and warm.
Oh, that's nice.
Before I found you, I wanted a big light. I wanted to be great. Now I don't.
You mean you...
Joe, a man whose life is rich in little things doesn't have to keep on forever stretching out for something more. Men who are lonely or discontented do that. You're enough to fill my life completely.
Do you really think I am?
I know it better than I've ever known anything in my life. Well, the proof is that we're always together, isn't it?
Forever, forever, forever. Lee, well, the only thing... Oh, I don't know how to explain this, but a few minutes ago you seemed so far above me. So much smarter than I am. As though you understood a lot of things I didn't. You acted like you knew you did, too. You were talking to me the way... Well, the way you'd talk to a little girl.
Did I?
Why is that, Lee? Because
I don't know, Joe. Once when I was young, my sister complained about the same thing. And I asked Dad why it was. Dad just laughed and said, never mind, it was just the ego of man. Well, how do you like being an old married woman?
Oh, it's too soon to tell yet.
Well, I can answer now. I like it.
You do?
Sure. Oh, everything isn't perfect. You should have my slippers ready for me when I come home and my pipe filled, but I'll train you into that as time goes along.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as I'm concerned, being married isn't so bad. Of course, I was fooled a little. I had an idea you were sweet and thoughtful. But I haven't received a single box of candy since we were married.
You haven't had a box of candy?
Not for 2 whole weeks.
Oh, I'll get it, dear. Sit still. Hello? Who? Why, Annette, how are you?
Annette?
Well, of course I didn't call you. I'm hard to get.
Lee, who is it?
What?
Well, no, I can't tonight. Not very well.
Oh, Lee!
Gee, I don't see how I can get away
with
it.
Oh, well, you can if you want to, for all I care.
Hey, are you still a blonde? You're dead. Gee, I can't imagine looking any better than you used to.
Lee, who is that?
Well, no, I guess nobody's seen much of me lately. I've been sort of busy. Yeah, sure. Call anytime, Annette. So long. Gosh.
Lee?
Oh, what'd you say, Joe?
Who is that on the phone?
Oh, just a girl I used to go with.
Oh, just a girl you used to go with?
Yeah, I went with her for about...
Well, why didn't you tell her you were married?
Why, I... What?
Lee Bonnell.
Don't.
I'm leaving you.
Joe, you're not either. You can't do that. I was just kidding her along.
Oh, you weren't either. You're tired of me and you're throwing it in my face right here in our own...
Why, Joe, I'm doing no such thing.
Why didn't you tell her you were married?
Why didn't I? Gosh, I don't know, Joe.
Well, I do. You just don't...
Well, it just seemed like when a girl calls a fella up for a date, she usually likes him pretty well. Naturally, he hates to hurt her feelings by saying he's all tied up.
All tied... Oh? I know. That's some of that ego of man you told me about once, isn't it?
Mad at me?
Yes.
Really?
I'm so mad I could tear you to pieces.
Think you'll ever get over it?
I don't know whether I will or not.
Josie.
Well?
Come here.
Oh, you crazy. Oh, Lee. I have to hang up now, Mother. Lee will be home any minute. Happier than ever. Bye. All right, Mr. Bonnell. You may take my arm and we'll walk in to dinner. You look very nice tonight, Mr. Bonnell. How do you like me? Oh. Well, after all, this dress isn't something I got out of a barrel. Now, if you'll just sit right there. No, here, next to me. You're right. Oh, we've been married 6 months, and I still love you enough to want you close to me. Oh, honey, I love you. I do so much. Oh, gosh. Hello? Oh, honey. Yes, sir, it's going to be the swellest dinner two people ever ate. Who? Annette. Did I hear you right? You ran into Annette this noon and invited her to dinner? Oh, to meet your wife. Yes, I know. Your wife's very pretty. You're proud of her. Well, all right, bring her home. I told you the table was set for two. I hope you'll enjoy yourself. Where's your girlfriend?
Who?
Annette.
Oh, I forgot all about her. Packing your clothes. Joe, you going somewhere?
I'm going home to Mother. That's where I'm going.
Well, I can't say that I blame you.
At least she knows how to treat a girl.
Yeah, you're right.
All I get here is trouble.
Sure. Joe, how did you find out about it so soon?
So soon?
It didn't happen until just before I left the office.
What didn't?
Well, the boss firing you.
Oh, Lee, he didn't.
Yep.
Oh, honey.
I haven't got what it takes, I guess. Probably never will have.
Who says you haven't? The boss? Well, he doesn't know what it's all about.
Oh, never mind. I'll be all right. You go ahead with your packing.
Packing? Well, you think I'd leave you when you're in trouble?
But aren't you going home to your mother?
Home? Home to my mother when you've just lost your job? Well, I should say not. What you need, Lee Bonnell, is to have that male ego of yours boosted, and I'm just the one that can do it.
Well, 1939's almost over.
Lee?
Yes?
I'm not afraid anymore.
What do you mean?
Oh, while we were standing here looking at the lights, I've been thinking. I'm not afraid because you seem to know more than I do.
Oh, of course not.
It is your ego. You don't really know so much more. It's just your ego, and it's a woman's place to help you with it so it never gets too big nor too little.
Of course. Joe, let's make a wish on the moon.
All right.
You first.
Close your ears, Lee Bonnell. This is between just the moon and me.
Oh, Mr. Moon, do you see this boy sitting here beside me? It's the boy I'm going to marry. I love him, Mr. Moon. Oh, I'm glad he isn't perfect because that makes him need me. It makes me feel like I belong to him. Mr. Moon, I've only got one wish. Make him keep loving me as much as I love him, and make me love him always as much as I do now.
Penny? Then I'll make mine. Put your hands over yours, Josephine Cottle.
Mr. Moon.
It's an awful pretty girl sitting next to me.
Mr. Moon, I want to marry her. I love her that much. My wish is that she stays just as she is, always. I don't mean sweet all the time.
Sometimes I think I love her even more when her eyes flash and she's mad at me.
Well, maybe it's then. Maybe it's when she smiles and her eyes are all liquid and warm. She's good for me. Mr. Moon, make my wish come true. Please, sir, don't change her a bit.
Did you make your wish?
Yep. Did you?
Yep. What'd you wish for?
Well, I won't tell.
I'll bet I know.
I'll bet I know yours, too.
Yep.
Yep.
Thus, somewhere in his life, man, the self-important, finds seconds of happiness, but only seconds, when he is not fighting either his fellows or a hostile nature. Here is another type of these tiny creatures who crawl up my sides to plan and think of the moment they call their New Year.
I like this, don't you?
What?
Standing here. Looking down on the town.
Oh, yeah, it's all right.
There's something about it. Oh, I don't know. It gives me a kick.
Oh, if I'd thought I was coming up here, I'd have worn a heavy coat.
You know, sometimes I think there must have been a black sheep in my family somewhere down the line. One of those romantic fellows who laughed in high glee as he flashed his sword by day and at night lay under the white light of the stars and dreamed dreams.
I knew a poet once.
Did you? What kind of a guy was he?
It wasn't a guy, it was a dame.
Oh?
Oh, she was always trying to do good for the community. Mostly by herding a bunch of us kids into a bus labeled this as an outing for underprivileged children.
And you objected to being labeled underprivileged?
So I was underprivileged, but why advertise it?
Well, let's forget about that for now. Let's just look down there and think how much there is in all the lights.
What's in them?
They're civilization. In those lights is science being born and growing. As the pioneer, the builder, the inventor. Millions of battling men dying, not knowing even why they fought. There's religion, the kindly doctor, the educator who passed on the knowledge of his generation to the next. There's the engineer and his machines. It's the romance of force.
Yeah, sure.
All that. And more. In 8 square miles of light.
What's your name?
My name? Bob.
Mine's Alethea.
How are you, Alethea?
Well, if that's meant for a question, the answer is I'm not doing so hot right now.
What's the matter?
Oh, I thought maybe from the way you talked, we'd burn up the town. Is this all you're going to do on New Year's Eve?
Just about. I've got to meet my mother and dad. The train gets in at 12:30.
Oh, so in a few minutes, I'm on my own again, I suppose.
Sorry.
Well, you should have told me before I climbed all the way up here with you.
Forgive me. Just until next time.
And how do you know there's going to be a next time?
Because I like you. And when I like a girl, there's always a next time. As a matter of fact, I have an idea I'd like to see you often.
Why?
Why? I don't know why. I just feel attracted to you, that's all.
Yeah?
Is it mutual?
I don't know yet.
Look at me.
Well?
Tell me you do like me.
I do.
You know, I can't figure out what it is. Maybe seeing you standing down there all alone and speaking to you, or maybe it's being with you here on the mountaintop New Year's Eve.
But I think we're going to be a long time together.
It wouldn't work. Even seeing each other for a few minutes, we know we don't belong. We're too different.
But wouldn't it be great if we did go on? A meeting like this, then falling in love, marrying, living together? Oh, sweet. You're the most beautiful bride a man ever had. The most beautiful, the most lovely.
Oh, Bob, you're beautiful, too. I love you.
Oh, darling. Nothing can separate us now. We have a whole lifetime of love.
Oh, I hope so. But, Bob, we're so different.
Oh, we've been over that before.
Oh, I'm just a girl. I don't know how to wear clothes. I don't know how to act in front of your kind of people. I'm...
Alethea, I love you.
Now. But will it always be this way?
Sure it will. Think how much fun it'll be to show you things. To see the sparkle in your eyes as you glimpse a part of the world you've never known.
Bob.
Yes, my love?
Bob, the Wilbers are having a party tomorrow night.
They are?
You weren't invited, Bob.
Oh, good. Then I don't have to go.
But, Bob, the reason you weren't invited is because of me.
You?
Yes.
I like people for what they are inside.
Really, Bob?
Honestly. I love you because you're real inside.
Oh, Bob, I'm through. I won't let you in for this. You've lost one job after another. You've gone down, down, down. There aren't any more fine hunting lodges for you. No more yachting trips. Not even any of your old friends stop you on the street anymore.
Now, wait a minute, Alethea. Do we still love each other?
Oh, yes, Bob. Yes, I love you too much to let this happen to you. Oh, it can't go on, Bob. I'm not selfish enough to make you lose everything you have. Friends, money, standing, I'm not.
Alethea. My friends won't accept me.
No, they won't. I'm glad you see that.
Then, do you suppose yours will?
Mine?
Yes. The ones you used to have before you met me. Will they take you back and me with you?
Why, yes, of course, Bob.
Then let's go to them.
But
Alethea,
Bob...
darling. I had a kingdom, a little world of my own, and I dreamed of love being the greatest thing there was in it, greater than all my subjects. That love came. If those in my world don't like my love, then they can get out. It's my world, and I'll do with it as I please. Oh, honey, is this all the butter we have?
I'm afraid it is.
Any money left out of your house allowance?
Not enough for butter.
Hmm. Well, then you'll have to allow me to dunk. I can't eat toast dry.
You fool.
All right.
Oh, of course, but you didn't have to wait until the butter's gone for an excuse. If dunking gives you fun, go to it.
It does.
Oh, gee, your hand feels good in mine, Bob. Better than it ever did.
The calluses?
Yes.
They represent hard work, my darling, but swell manly work.
That's why they feel good.
Lady.
Well?
Would you let go of my hand, please? I want to dunk.
No, Bob, wait. Bob, you're happy, aren't you? Happy enough so...
Happier than I've ever been in my life, darling.
Well, Bob, we're going to...
What? We are? Really?
Yes.
A boy or a girl? Which, Alethea?
Oh, it's too early to tell yet.
Oh, gee, that's swell. A boy, maybe, huh?
Oh, I knew you'd be happy.
Oh, Alethea. Alethea, let's name him Samuel Mike Timothy Philip Stanley Isidore, after your friend. Oh, darling.
Oh.
This is the life, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best life two people ever had. Well, it's almost New Year's.
Yeah, I know.
You'll have to start pretty soon if you want to meet your folks.
Yes, I suppose I had better be leaving.
Me too.
I'm sorry I can't go on with you.
So am I. We might have had fun if
yeah.
we...
Yeah. Yeah. I like you.
Thanks.
You mind if I'd call you sometime?
I don't think you'd better. We didn't meet properly.
Well, all right. Whatever you say.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye. Happy New Year.
And so those two who might have had happiness said a casual goodbye and parted. Ah, man, how strange a creature he is with his sacrifices, his odd standards, his puny force. Now two more climb my summit to dream their dreams before the bells ring in the moment called the year. Another couple, yet no more wives.
That's swell, isn't it, to stand on a hill, see the lights of a city below?
It's more than swell. It's thrilling.
Especially with us, Sally. It's a city we're going to whip. One that'll know us, bend to our wants.
You're still holding on to ambition, aren't you, Ned?
No, Sally, we're the luckiest people in all the world. We're able to stand here hand in hand, loving each other as no one has ever loved before, and look down on a kingdom that'll be ours.
Ned.
Wait, let me talk now before the chimes ring in the new year. Sally, I've got to tell you how much you mean to me.
Ah, don't tell me that, Ned. I know already. Tell me I'm going to go on meaning as much to you as I do now, and victory is in defeat.
You are, of course you are. Sally, I fought alone for 10 years. If these last three we've been fighting together have been misery, those 10 before were worse.
These three haven't been misery. They've been glorious fun. I couldn't have been happier than I have been fighting with you for the recognition you've wanted.
I just want to stand here and look down. 1.5 million people. All those lights. Each one a building. Offices where great executives sit. Factories where there's hard labor.
And homes, Ned.
That's right. Homes like ours, where two people have worked hard together.
And they're settled back and content with each other and what they have.
Homes where at this very minute, new life is coming into the world. Where life is going out. Where there's the happiness of struggle.
And the wretchedness of having gained too much.
The greatest adventure in the world. Knowing, watching people, climbing over them.
Ned, will ours be the wretchedness of having gained too much?
Is there such a thing?
We have known the companionship of poverty. Of laughing as we flipped a coin to see whether it would buy a dessert or an evening at a picture show.
It has been fun, hasn't it? More fun now that we can look back and know those things can't happen again.
We've read together, and we've walked together, and we've done 1,000 things in partnership. Because there was no alternative. We had no money to buy outside interests and no leisure to take one of us from the other.
That's right. I appreciate the sacrifices you've made.
We've shared things, Ned.
What is it, Sally? Is there some... Are you afraid?
Ned, let's not take success. Let's toss it aside and go on fighting.
Sally...
I'm so afraid we're trading success for contentment.
What do you mean?
As you say, this coming year will bring the success for which you've fought. As it does, it may crowd our contentment out. I know. And we'll get the car and go out in the woods and see all the flowers. We'll take our shoes off and walk in the soft new grass.
I wish I could, Sally.
You can't, then?
No, I'm sorry. I have other things to do. Business.
Business.
Oh, this heat is awful.
I'm nearly dead.
Yeah, it's worse for me. My office is air-conditioned, and to come home to this...
Let's take a trip somewhere. Ned, I've been thinking. How would you like to go up to the lake?
I wish I could.
You've
You can't then?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have other things to do. Business.
Business. Ned, why don't you let business go?
But such a thing's
impossible. Let's just have fun. A day of rest and play and a day for you and me to be together.
I can't.
But you can.
What about business? What about money? Does it grow on trees?
I'm sorry, Ned. I just thought... Oh, never mind.
Go ahead.
You mentioned money. Do we need all you can make?
Of course we do.
But do we need other things more?
Oh, darling, you're upset. Try to understand my side, will you? I tell you, Sally, why don't you go?
Why don't I? Alone?
Yes, alone. You'll have a good time. I'm sure you will, even alone. And to be truthful, my dear, if I'm here without... Well, undisturbed, I can get so much more done. Oh, Sally, do you know where I put my studs, the new ones?
I didn't hear what you said, Ned.
My shirt studs. You know where they are.
Oh, Ned, you haven't forgotten them. Oh, I was so afraid you would.
Forgotten?
Our tickets for the opening of the play. Oh, I'm so glad we can go. And Ned, you're dressing for it, too.
But, oh, is tonight for that?
You'd forgotten.
Well, not exactly.
But you have other things to do. Business?
Yes, I'm afraid I have.
Should have known.
Well, that's all right. I'll get Jimmy Brownwell to take you.
Jimmy Brownwell. Another man?
Of course, why not?
But, Ned, I'm your wife. What will people say?
People? What possible difference can people make? We've climbed above that, Sally. We're modern. Hello, Sally. I didn't know you were coming here.
I hadn't the least idea I'd see you.
Well, this is a fine nightclub. Have you been here before?
Oh, lots of times. Ned, why don't you come up to our table and join us?
I'd love to, Sally. Really, I would, but I don't see how I can get away from my friends.
Well, that's all right then, Ned.
Sally, why don't you join our party?
Well, my friends are here, too.
Of course.
There's the three of them. Art Richmond's escorting me. You know him.
Art Richmond, did you say?
Yeah.
Why, he's an old pal of mine. I haven't seen him for years. Sally, tell him to call me up. We'll have lunch together.
You'll
see. Oh, the fun we used to have.
All right, Ned. I'll tell him what you said.
Fine, Sally. Well, have a good time.
Oh, Ned.
Yes, Sally, what is it?
You know what day tomorrow is?
Of course. Christmas.
That's right. You know what we forgot to do?
No. What?
We forgot to put up a Christmas tree.
We did.
Imagine that. Last year we had so much fun doing it.
This year we forgot all about it.
Oh, Ned. You see what I mean, Ned?
Yes, I see.
Well?
Well?
The lights of the city are beautiful from up here, aren't they?
But, Sally, we've lived for this night. For the time we could climb to the top of the mountain and look down on the city and say it's ours, we've conquered it.
Yes, that's been your dream.
And now?
Ned, did we want to be up here? Or did we aim this high because it meant we could work together?
I don't know. Sally, are you crying?
Oh, it's nothing, Ned. Just the cold and wind.
You're sure that's all?
Oh, Ned. Ned, go on. I was wrong and you're right. Work hard and keep on working. You have your chance to stand at the top. Take it and stand there and I'll sit back and applaud and point you out as the man who tried and won. You've fought too hard to drop it now, Ned.
But Sally, do you think...
Go on and do it.
I can't. I love you more than I love that. I know I do.
And I love you, Ned, better than anything in the world. It's thrilling to look down on those lights and say, they're mine. I conquered them.
But it's cold up here looking down. The warmth is there among the lights, not above them.
Yes, Ned.
Sally, shall we go down? Be among the lights again?
If we do, could you be content again?
I could.
All right, Ned. Let's go.
And so these strange little humans depart. The new year has come. The world goes on. I, at the top of the mountain, remain. With the serenity I have held while thousands upon thousands of generations of man have lived and died. While foolish wars and foolish troubles have gone on and passed. Gone on because insignificant creatures have become self-important, because they have in their confusion taken to vain strutting, thinking themselves gods. Sometimes as I look down upon them, I wonder why they fail so miserably to enjoy the day he has. Why man prefers to fight nature, himself, his fellows. I probably shall never know. No more than they.
You have just heard Gateway to Hollywood screen test number 13, starring Josephine Cottle of Houston, Texas, Lee Bunnell of South Bend, Indiana, Alethea Wilson of Birmingham, Alabama, Robert Brubaker of Robinson, Illinois and Los Angeles, Sally Cairns of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Ned Lefever of Indianapolis, Indiana. The voice of the mountaintop was played by Mr. H.B. Warner. And now, once again, here is Jesse L. Lasky.
In my hands are long-term contracts from the RKO Studios. They have already been signed by Mr. George Schaefer, president of RKO, and they are made out in the names of Terry Belmont and Gail Storm. Those names, henceforward, will be the property of the one most talented boy and girl to be chosen in just a few moments by the judges. They are valuable names. For 13 weeks, they have been publicized over this coast-to-coast broadcast. Hardly a person hasn't heard them. And only when an actor's name is known to the public is he valuable to a producer or to himself. Therefore, these names are worth many thousands of dollars. May I say just once more that this great opportunity for talented young America has been made possible by Double Mint Gum. But before we poll the judges on whom they've chosen to be Gail Storm and Terry Belmont, I want to present Mr. Graham Baker. Mr. Baker is co-producer with Mr. Gene Towne of RKO's forthcoming production, Tom Brown School Days. And as we've announced every Sunday, Mr. Baker and Mr. Towne are choosing one of the girl finalists on today's program for a featured role in their new production. And now at this very moment, Mr. Baker is going to tell us whom they have chosen for this extra award.
Miss Josephine Cottle.
Thank you very much, Graham Baker. And congratulations to Josephine Cottle of Houston, Texas. And now let's move on to the big event of the moment. Gary Breckner, will you take over?
Very glad to, Mr. Lasky. But first, I want to remind our listeners that the judges have been instructed to cast their ballots from the standpoint of photographic qualities, personality, and dramatic ability. And from the deep frowns on their brows and the meditative glances at the ceiling, it would seem that the gentlemen are experiencing a little difficulty in reaching their own decisions. However, the time is at hand, and I'm going to ask each one of these distinguished judges for his choice for a Gail Storm and a Terry Belmont. The first judge to give his selection is Mr. Perry Lieber, the RKO Publicity Director.
Mr. Lee Bunnell and Miss Josephine Cottle.
The second judge is the RKO Director, Frank Woodruff.
Mr. Lee Bunnell, Miss Josephine Cottle.
The third of the judges is the RKO producer, Eric Palmer.
Lee Bunnell, Josephine Cottle.
And the fourth one is Mr. Mel Burns, the RKO makeup expert.
My choice is the same as the others. Miss Cottle and Mr. Bunnell.
And the fifth judge, the RKO talent executive, Julius Evans.
Miss Sally Cairns and Mr. Lee Bunnell.
And that is the individual vote. And now to Mr. Lasky for the final.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is the final decision. Our new Gail Storm is Josephine Cottle. Our new Terry Belmont is Lee Bunnell. Josephine Cottle and Lee Bonnell, you are indeed to be congratulated. You have made your dreams come true. And now I want you to think of this. Acting is an honorable profession, and it must be kept as such. You owe it to me, to these five distinguished judges, to the RKO studios who will produce your pictures, to the motion picture industry, to Doublemint Gum, which has provided this opportunity. But most of all, you owe to the American public that never, never by any act in your personal or private lives or in your public lives as artists will you do anything to mar or hurt these names of Gail Storm and Terry Belmont, which I am about to give to you. Do you so promise, Josephine Cottle?
I do.
I'm sure you would. And you, Lee Bonnell, what do you say?
You bet your life.
Very well. Josephine Cottle, I invest you now and forever with the name Gail Storm. And you, Lee Bonnell, with the name Terry Belmont. Here are your contracts with the RKO Studios and your membership cards for the Screen Actors Guild. Now, listen very carefully, children. You are both to report at 9 o'clock Tuesday morning to Mr. Julius Evans at RKO Studios, ready for your first day before the camera. Now, I am sure we'd all like to hear a word from each one of you. Would you please? Please.
Well, this is just too much all at once. I just can't express myself.
I'll say what Joe was to say. Well, I think we both appreciate it very, very much, and we want to thank Wrigley's and Mr. Lasky and Mr. Brown and everybody, and Happy New Year, and it's going to be a swell new year for us.
Thank you both. That was very, very nice. Those are lovely speeches. Now, to you, Gail Storm and Terry Belmont, I say God bless you and good luck be with you. What a wonderful start for the new year. To the rest of you talented young folks, to Alethea Wilson, to Robert Brubaker, to Sally Cairns, to Med Lefevre, I have only this to say. You ran a fine race. Your performances were splendid. Having gone this far, and it is far indeed, there is no doubt but that if you keep trying, you have notable careers within your grasp. Keep trying. And remember, if at any time I can help you or advise you, it will be my pleasure to do so. Now it's time to say goodbye to all of you. I am very happy that today we have completed 39 weeks of our talent search and have discovered another talented boy and another girl who may now move on to possible and fame and fortune in Hollywood. Also, this ends a full year of happy association with our sponsors, the merchants who display and sell Doublemint chewing gum. Once again, good luck to our new Gail Storm and Terry Belmont, and a happy, happy new year to all of you. This is Jesse L. Lasky bidding you farewell from the gateway to Hollywood.
And now here's a personal message addressed only to the merchants who display and sell Doublemint gum and who during the past year have sponsored the gateway to Hollywood. We ask you merchants to stay tuned in to hear this private preview of what your new radio show will be for the coming weeks. The general public is asked to tune out, because the next 15 minutes is a dress rehearsal. All others will have an opportunity to hear the new show next Sunday evening. We pause now for a 20-second station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Gateway to Hollywood program on Tuned to Yesterday from New Year's Eve 1939 on CBS. Gail Storm would go on to have an illustrious career in radio and in the movies, and as one might expect, was interviewed quite a lot during her time in the entertainment world. Here's Gail Storm now with Hollywood reporter George Fisher in 1951.
This is George Fisher. I'm speaking to you from the San Fernando Valley home of one of Hollywood's loveliest actresses, Miss Gail Storm. Hello, Gail.
Hello, George.
First of all, Gail, let me ask you, who picked out your name for you?
Well, I won it in a contest, George.
Your name?
Yes, I did. It went with a contest called Jesse Lasky's Gateway to Hollywood. And I entered that when I was back in Houston, Texas, going to high school.
How old were you?
Well, I was 17.
And the name?
Well, I won a contest there, and then the finals were to take place in Hollywood, over the air. So I came out here, along with quite a few other people from all over the United States, and we competed for 13 weeks, and the winner was to win the name of Gale Storm. And that was supposed to be very advantageous at that time because it had been publicized for all these weeks over the air.
That's the Jesse Lasky contest.
That's right.
Now, how did he ever arrive at the name Gale Storm?
Well, he told me that while he was racking his brain for some names for his contest winners, he was flying from one city to the other, and the plane ran into a horrible storm. It was snowing and sleeting and everything that it does. So it came to him like a flash. Gale Storm.
Why is it that you never changed your name after you established yourself as a top-flight actress and a top-flight movie star?
Well, I tell you, I thought about it, George, because you can't imagine how many puns I've had to listen to in connection with the Gale Storm.
Can you recall a few of them for us?
Well, there's always blizzard, tornado, and hail, hurricane, and, well, I wince at the thought of...
But you decided almost to change it, you said.
Well, I would have, but my own name was a little too difficult for the screen, and I didn't want another phony name, so I just stuck to Gale Storm.
What is your real name?
Joe. Joe Cottle, C-O-T-T-L-E. I always have to spell it, you see.
Do your children call you Joe, or does your husband call you Joe?
Well, my husband calls me honey unless he's mad at me, and then he calls me Joe. The children call me mother.
And in private life, you're Mrs. Lee Bonnell.
That's right.
You are really shot with names. How many children have you, Gail?
I have three, last count. Philip, and Peter, and Paul.
How old are they?
Well, Philip just turned 7, and Peter is almost 4, and Paul is 2.5.
Now, how does it happen that rumored to be having troubles, domestically speaking?
Well, just lucky, I guess. No, I don't know, George. I've never thought much about it. I guess, actually, we haven't had any serious troubles, and those that we have had, we've confined to the inner sanctum of our home, and we manage to turn on placid, smiling faces when we go outside.
Thank you, Gale Storm, for the wonderful interview and for being so wonderful yourself.
George Fisher's Hollywood Calling with Gale Storm on Tuned to Yesterday. It would be a few years after that interview that she would appear in the radio series My Little Margie as Margie.
I said it was nice of you to come along with me.
Oh, my pleasure, Margie. While you're sitting with their baby, I'll be sitting with mine.
Well, let's see. 9A, 9B. Oh, here's their apartment. Yes? Good evening, Mrs. Motley.
Oh, hello, children. Come in, come in.
Mrs. Motley?
No.
Wait, now, don't tell me.
You must be Margie.
Yes. And this is...
And this is Freddie, of course.
That's right.
My, you're so cute. What a lovely couple. I hope you'll take good care of Junior. There's cookies and ginger ale in the kitchen for you. Let me take your coats and fruit in a bowl. Just make yourselves at home. Is there anything you want to do? Just ask for it.
When will we get a chance?
What? He means with Junior keeping us busy.
Oh, Junior won't be any trouble. Oh, Sam, they're here. That's my husband, Junior's asleep. Sam, come on, we're late. And be sure you don't wake Junior up.
If he's not awake now, he's got a tin ear.
All right, Helen. Oh, hello, kids. Well, I was just checking on Junior. Looks like a little angel when he's sleeping. Helen, are you ready?
All ready, dear.
Fine. Come on, let's go. If there's one thing I like, it's a good game of cards. Well, see you later, kids.
Thanks.
Good night, children.
Boy, that gal can really talk. Her mouth seems to be forever open.
I'll bet her husband's afraid to take her to the beach. Her tongue might get sunburned.
Well, anyway, there's one good thing. The baby's asleep.
Yeah, I'm glad of that. I've never taken care of a baby before.
Ah, don't worry. Sounds like this kid's a pretty solid sleeper.
But suppose he wakes up. Suppose we have to give him a bath. Do you know how to test the temperature of the water?
Oh, sure. If the baby gets red, the water's too hot. If the baby gets blue, the water's too cold.
What happens if the baby turns white?
That just proves he needed a bath.
Freddie, do you think we could take a look at him? I love to watch little children.
Oh, sure. Come on into the bedroom. Hey, be careful, Margie. Now, don't make any noise.
Don't worry. There he is, Freddie. Oh, isn't he sweet? Sleeping with the covers over his head.
With a mother like that, that's just self-defense.
You know, a baby like this does something to me. It arouses all my maternal instincts. I want to hold him in my arms and rock him gently and hum a lullaby in his little pink ears. Just try it, sister, and I'll build you one.
Junior, you're supposed to be a baby.
Yeah? What are you supposed to be, prune face? I see a better head on a glass of beer.
Freddie, I started this because I wanted Dad to stay home and play cards. But you know something?
What?
We got the raw deal.
Gail Storm from the My Little Margie Show, wrapping up this hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. And I do hope you enjoyed our mini tribute to Gail Storm. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levenier. Thanks for tuning in.